Okay.
We're on.
Okay, we're on the air. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Health and Social Services Committee. April the 16th, scheduled at 2:30. We're at 2:30. Next is prayer. I'm going to have a prayer and I'm going to ask Speaker Walker to render an afternoon prayer for us.
Glad to. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the day. Just thank you for the pretty weather. Lord, I see there's storms in the forecast, Lord. Just protect those that may be in harm's way tomorrow, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us as we start to wind down the session. We still have some important decisions to make, and I ask that you be with us, help lead us and guide us in a direction that benefits the people, and ultimately, Lord, expands your kingdom, Lord. Just pray for forgiveness for our sins. All these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We have a roll call, please, for our presence.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Present.
Congressman Tillman?
Here.
Speaker Walker?
Here.
Congressman Mason?
Present. Do you have a quorum? Members of the committee, please review the agenda or the minutes from last meeting. If there's any additions, corrections, deletions, please advise. We'll make those corrections, if any. Congressman Tillman.
Motion to approve the minutes from April 11th as presented.
Second.
I have a second. Any discussion to the motion? Hearing none, those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Those opposed say no. Minutes are approved. Going into item 5 on our agenda for today, it's consideration of ONCA 1870, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act, 16 ONC, sections 3-102, 3-104, 3-105, and to add 16 ONC, section 3-106 and 3-107, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Edwards. I see Congresswoman Edwards, but she can't hear us. Oh, I did that. My lips. One moment. Congresswoman Edwards was outside hailing a cab, but we'll get her back in here one moment.
Hair dry.
Congresswoman Edwards, we have your consideration of ONCA 1870 on the board right now.
I don't believe I have any further amendments.
Okay, are there any members of the committee? Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have an amendment to ONCA 1870. Page 3, line 132. After plan, insert or plans.
Second. Are you doing them all together or individually?
How would you like for me to do them?
Your floor.
I can do them all together. Is that okay?
Yes.
I'll withdraw my second and let you make all of them.
Thank you.
Yes, without objection.
Page 4, lines 151 through 152, strike lines 151 and 152. And insert a plan shall provide for administration through a third-party administrator, (parentheses) plan administrator, close parentheses, ex- accepting services described in paragraph F1 of this section. Then page 4, lines 154 to 160, strike lines 154 through 160 and insert the following. F, a plan and contract entered into with a third-party administrator to administer benefits described in paragraph B of this section shall provide an Osage member may apply online, access benefits if desired via the use of an encoded card, maximizing convenience to the beneficiary to the extent cost-efficient technology will allow. Section 1, all expenses that are otherwise eligible but cannot be processed at the point of purchase will require the member to submit a claim form in order to initiate the reimbursement process. And then throughout the bill, strike the plan and insert a plan.
Second.
Discussion to the motion. Congresswoman Edwards.
Can you explain to us what this motion, what this amendment does?
Yes, so you had spoke at one point during that when you presented this to us that 1870 was, there was a lot of cleanup language in there. And so the page 3 and page 4, the lines 132 and 152, they just basically clean up the language. Instead of calling it the plan in your committee substitute, it puts or plans or a plan, because right now we are not doing just one plan, because we have the Medicap as a third party administrator. We also have the WageWorks as a third party administrator. So we're actually doing two. So to make it consistent, a plan is just a cleanup language piece of it. Now, the piece where it excludes paragraph F1 is the reimbursement piece that could be, if the committee wills it as an amendment, that it would give the flexibility and options of the plan administrator if the plan administrator chooses to be Osage Nation through the constituent services for the reimbursement piece only, then that it gives us the flexibility to do that. And by doing that, it also gives a potential for a cost savings for the nation to contract just with the debit card company and then do the reimbursement in-house, which then it's not a combined service through a third-party administrator, which has larger fees.
Congresswoman Edwards.
So this language could negate a third-party administrator entirely?
No, it's left in there. The third-party administrator piece of it is. It's just, it allows them to bring in the reimbursement to constituent services if they would so choose to.
Only the reimbursement part?
They would be able to contract directly with a debit card company. Directly.
The nation?
Yes.
Well, so would that then make the nation the plan administrator?
To that piece of it, to the third party, to the reimbursement piece, yes.
Well, what part would it not be the plan administrator?
Well, if they contract with a debit company, they would be that would be another plan administrator, because we currently are using more than one plan administrator as it is with the Medigap and the WageWorks.
Okay, actually, that's not right, because
okay,
that was the thing that I changed, is that the Medicare supplement, the Medigap coverage, mm-hmm. is not pursuant to a plan, it's pursuant to a contract.
Well, I'm sorry, let me restate it. Currently, that's what we're doing right now, is that they are doing it through that, and you did change that in this, yes, so thank you for correcting me.
So we have third-party administrators now, and that's true, we have more than one third-party administrator. Mm-hmm. But my question is, would this language allow the nation to be the only third party, well, it wouldn't be a third party administrator, because,
well, technically the debit card piece would still be a third party administrator if you contracted with a debit card company.
Okay. Do we have a definition? I can't remember. Do we have a definition in the law for third party administrator?
Good question.
The question is posed to any of us at the table?
Anybody that knows.
And the question is?
Does the law currently have a definition for plan administrator or third party administrator in it?
Speaker Walker.
Before we look up the bill, I'm just curious, why are you curious about that? I mean, there's probably hundreds of definitions for third party administrator. I don't want to make the law laden with loose terminology, but what?
My answer is because it was always contemplated that this was going to be administered by someone outside the nation, a third-party administrator who is administering a plan document. So if we're changing it to more than one entity administering and more than one plan, I'm trying to figure out if it's possible that the nation would become the administrator of the entire benefit. I mean, I've heard that the intent is to have the option for the nation to administer reimbursement claims that are seeking reimbursement. But it's my question whether, if you change this language, it would be possible for the nation to be administering the entire benefit and then simply contracting with a credit card or other card company who doesn't have any administration responsibilities, just simply takes the card, processes the charge, and then just hands it over to the nation to do auditing or whatever. I mean, in the past, the administrator did all the auditing. So I'm just trying to figure out if there's still a requirement that a third-party administrator audit and do other things, or if it's possible that the nation is going to take over all those responsibilities.
Speaker Walker.
I don't know that that's really contemplated in your bill or in the amendment that's brought forth by Congresswoman Lemon, but they are getting into issues that can be put forth in a contract. Maybe, you know, the debit card company shall audit 5% of the transactions, 1%, 2%, whatever those may be. Do you think that that type of provision should be put forth in the law?
Well, I feel like that the original law, had a lot of language in it regarding how the plan document needed to be set out. You recall that. It had said you need a plan that's in substantially the same format as it was part of the law, and then it was a third-party administrator, and then there were certain requirements that the third-party administrator had to undertake. When we went to this law, we made it much broader. We took away the notion that you had to do anything in accordance with the plan. We didn't say what a plan looked like. Matter of fact, we had the plan and the fund interchanged improperly. So that was one of the goals with this bill, was to fix that. But I think for me, one of the ways we got into trouble was by not having more guidance in law as to how the plan was going to be administered. So if we're making it even looser, then I'm just curious as what the vision is, because I don't think any of us want to have happen what's happening right now. And I don't know if we need to make the law more specific as to the expectations of the nation with respect to administering this benefit. I don't really think making it any looser is a benefit to the Osage people who are trying to use the benefit.
Speaker Walker.
So we've been discussing these either at this table or behind closed doors or amongst one another on the telephone. And I think with possibly 2 or 3 days left in session, I think is what it's boiled down to is whether or not you support the ability to handle the paper claims and process a contract or pass a contract with a debit card company that can put internal controls that eliminate or come close to eliminating all of the slippery transactions that are happening right now, because we're not the ones that are administering the contract with the debit card company. That's given to the third-party administrator in the law now. And I'm just going to say that I support the ability for the nation to handle 10 or 15 paper claims a day. I think that's very reasonable. It's doable. It's not going to require a bunch of staff or administrative burdens on anyone. And I think the nation can go out and contract with a card company to put provisions or protections in those cards that the current card holder is flat out telling us, no, we will not do that. So I support this amendment.
Okay. Okay, members of the committee, again, just to, we are in discussion to a motion. There's a number of items there within the motion all combined. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I'm not opposed to administrating a plan that has more security for the nation in the use of our funds and to avoid fraudulent activities on our card. I believe we could do that right now. But what I did see with the First Amendment about a year ago with this law is we did broaden the language. The plan benefit plan document was taken out of the law, so that loosened up and broadened what the executive could contract for to do. And we found through sitting at these meetings from bad contracts that weren't completely understood that some other company that the third-party administrator contracted with, they're all being non-compliant to what we want this benefit to be. In my view, the way to prohibit that from happening is, one, to learn from your mistakes, and two, I feel like it's the legislative branch's, the Congress's obligation to put that in law to where there are protections for the use of this card, for the protections for the Osage people's money. I would hope that that's what we're trying to do instead of broaden the law yet even more. And that's what I've been hearing. I'm not a part of this committee, but I do listen to the meetings. And that's what I think is being requested here, to broaden the law. So maybe we could do this, and maybe we could do that, and maybe we could do this. Three different things that they're reviewing, possibly wanting to do. I don't think, from my experience, that that's worked well. Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Thank you. What I think I'm hearing, and I'm trying to keep up with the amendments that are being made, is given the opportunity to bring this to an in-house office. And if it's true, it's 15 to 30 claims a day, that's certainly manageable. But now you've got a whole different level of securities that you have to consider, and that's regarding HIPAA, which is a huge expanded law and does come with federal penalties. So you're talking about actually setting up an office or a room that has securities to the level of the records that are being kept and the protection of the information. So this is not something you can just run at the constituency desk where they've got papers laying out and stuff. You're going to have to set up an office to operate this. Just a comment.
Okay. Speaker Walker and then Assistant Chief.
Right, that's been contemplated. It's been part of the discussions, and that is a concern. I've heard the comment made, well, we don't want our friendly face at the front desk of the Welcome Center sitting there processing, you know, claims that could violate HIPAA laws. And so we've contemplated that, or that's been contemplated during the discussions, and I think the assistant chief is going to speak to that, but they said that would be addressed And yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, man, that is a concern. But then again, we're processing, what, hundreds, if not thousands of those right now.
We are.
At our clinic.
Yes, but we have those guidelines set up in place. So you're right. Looking at the same situation somewhere else.
Correct.
Now, you bring that office inside the clinic, then you've got protections already in place for that. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Is I don't know if part of that needs to go into this law about the protections if we're going to run it. It's not, you know, it's got to be something they have to do. It's not a choice. They're going to have to do those if they want to bring it in-house. And I'm not opposed to either way. I'm just making the comment.
Okay, I'd like to acknowledge Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, to echo Speaker Walker's remarks, we've discussed that. I think everyone should be assured that there are literally months between the passage of this act and any change, so there's plenty of time to plan. We have a representative of Constituent Services here to speak to that issue if the committee would like to hear from them. But we fully support moving that particular operation out of the lobby and into a secure office that can be locked. We have plenty of time to install HIPAA training for our employees that will be processing those claims. To Congresswoman Edwards' question, our reading of these amendments mean that nothing is taken in-house with the exception of the receipt reimbursement process. None. To Congresswoman Whitehorn's question, if that is a desire of the committee, a simple sentence installed in this law that will say that the debit card shall have IIAS protocols installed on it, solve your problem. No law between the time this was invented by Congresswoman Edwards and I back in 2009 until now has had that phrase in it, and we would welcome it. And that will fix the bill. Thank you.
Congresswoman Edwards and then Congresswoman Lemon.
So just from a cost standpoint, and I guess this is directed at the assistant principal chief since he's thought about it. Are you saying, you're not saying that you're moving the constituent services out of the place that we built an entire building around for them to be there?
Constituent services is located, that department that manages them is not just in that lobby. There's an entire quadrant of that floor that the manager and other people, director of constituent services and other people occupy. So it's really easy to just go back in that room.
So it's
room.
Not moving the people that are currently in
constituent. No,
maybe
it's moving the
that
people
one.
That are processing the claims that would be part of constituent services back in another room to do that job for however long it takes every day.
And would that be a new hire, or I know it would involve training, but is it contemplated that
we anticipate one new hire?
Thank you, Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to speak on the HIPAA topic a little bit more, and not to say Congresswoman Staver is right. HIPAA is a huge federal law. There's major fines that can come from it, and of course we know because we worked in the health industry. What's great about HIPAA in one aspect to look at it in a positive light is that you, as long as your policies dictate that you're going to have HIPAA training, that it's documented that you've had the training, and what your security measures are, such as it has to be locked, if your policy state it needs to be locked behind two doors or three doors, or however it needs to be locked up, as long as your policy states that and you're following that, then you're HIPAA compliant. So a lot of times I feel that some people get afraid because they think, oh my gosh, HIPAA, you know, which it is very delicate, it can be a very delicate matter, but at the same time, it is very doable to secure documents, and it's definitely not a difficult thing to. I'm sorry, there's a phone ringing.
That's mine. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Lunch on me.
So ultimately, we actually have HIPAA being dealt with anywhere that there's any type of insurance information. So our HR department should have HIPAA policies in place that they've had training on, and our employee records and employees of the nation should be locked up and secured behind at least a door and in another cabinet. And that is sufficient. And so it's just, it is something that can seem daunting, but honestly, as long as you're following within the guidelines and you can prove that you're doing that, then you're considered to be HIPAA compliant. Thank you.
Any other discussions to the motions on addressing our committee? Speaker Walker.
Yes, there's one very important aspect that I think this amendment would allow for, and that would be savings to the nation. Not only do I like the change, you know, in law enabling us to go out and hire the cardholder ourselves and have the IIAS protocol established and the paper claims, I'm comfortable with that, but right now we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars a year for a third-party administrator, and I think we can reduce that cost significantly. And this amendment would help with that.
Thank you. Any other members of this committee have any comments? Yes.
Well, in addition to that, cost savings, they are speaking to, it would provide another job opportunity for an SH to come in and be able to have gainful employment to support their family. And I think that's important. I'd rather pay the money for an Osage to have a job than pay extra money for a third-party administrator to process a reimbursement claim.
Congresswoman Edwards, and then Congressman,
I'll work on getting a fiscal analysis. So I'll try to, if Brandy can help me get the amount that it's costing to actually process paper claims versus what the anticipated cost is of securing the office, getting hiring a new person. And then the only response I would have to that is it's actually not, to me, it's not all just about saving money. It's about efficiency and consideration of what this benefit's supposed to do for the people that are using it. And one of those things is that if they're unable to use the card, which would allow you for immediate ability to pay, if you have to go out of pocket and seek to be reimbursed, then you get reimbursed within a reasonable amount of time. And I wouldn't want to put us in a position where we're relying on one person, and maybe, and we'll look at it, but maybe that won't be an issue. But I do know in the past we had a team of people that processed paper claims, and therefore we were able to process those claims. And maybe at some point we got behind on that too, I don't know, but I know that there were more than one person processing claims back in the day, so to speak. And so I do want to see for myself the fiscal analysis on it, so I'll work on that, but I need help from Brandy getting the numbers on what it's going to cost to do it in-house.
I'd like to acknowledge Assistant Chief Redcorn.
Couple of things. IIAS stands for Inventory Information Approval System. And we would not object to having that a requirement for the debit card to have that requirement. To the question, I understand Congresswoman's question. Our estimate is that we will save $425,000 in administration fees because the entire online part that goes up is the debit card. So the debit card company, while you may be thinking administration, they are standing up the website. They are providing the balances. They are doing all of the online presence for the card. They are printing the card. Right now, our current provider is outsourcing all of those functions to a third party. And we believe, but do not know for a certainty, that that third party is probably getting the third party administrator some cash back. Now, against the $425,000 that we'll be saving by not having a third party administrator, we've been told, remains to be seen, we've been told we will get cash back in the amount of $6,000 to $12,000 per month directly from the debit card provider in a profit sharing arrangement. So we would anticipate that if it does take one full-time person to process these claims, that if just pull a number out of the air, that person makes $45,000 a year and there's $25,000 or $30,000 worth of benefit piled on top of it, it would certainly appear that the cash back from the debit card company alone would pay for the new employee. Now, I'll be the first to say that all of this has yet to play out, but it certainly looks promising from where we sit, and I think the lesson that we learned from this is that we've been paying too much for a very long time for this service. That's my opinion at this point anyway. Thank you.
Acknowledging Congresswoman Whitehorn and then Congresswoman Edwards.
Chairman, I have a question for Assistant Chief Redcorn. May I ask him a question?
Yes, you may.
Okay. So when we contracted with our current third-party administrator for the health benefit card, mm-hmm. did we not realize within the contract that they were going to sub out all of this other work?
I think the question is, the answer is no, and we haven't known that for 9 years.
I mean,
Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, may I continue?
Please continue.
It's obvious that we don't have a contract with a debit card company, so I think it's common sense that that's being provided on a third party basis beyond the third party administrator.
We've learned something.
Thank you. Congresswoman Edwards.
Well, I can respond, and we did know that we had a third party providing the card because the name was Lighthouse One, and then they merged, and I think you can remember that we knew that. And as far as I know, they were not paying any cash back to mutual assurance administrators, and I did try to look up to see if I saw in the contract anywhere where that happened, and I actually inquired. And the executive thought it was a good idea to talk to the person who was our liaison during that time. And he did not believe that there was any cash back being paid either. So this is a new wrinkle that we don't know about. Okay, I just heard the principal chief say that we're not having a third party administrator. I mean, I wrote it down when he said it. So now I'm confused. I thought that the third-party administration, except for the in-house processing of claims, was being handled by a third-party administrator, the administration of the plan.
Assistant Chief.
I'm not the principal chief.
Sorry.
That's okay. We all misspeak from time to time. So tell me again what you thought you heard me say.
I wrote it down. You said, by not having a third-party administrator. And I thought we were having a third-party administrator, except in the case of...
Allow me to correct myself.
Okay.
Okay. So we have, up until recently, my idea of a third-party administrator was somewhat constricted by virtue of my own personal lack of research and my own experience. So I went online and asked what the definition of third-party administrator is. And the first website I found said that there are 4,000 potential definitions for third-party administrator in today's world, which matched up perfectly with what I've learned about this business. There are any number of functions that some other company, which any other company is technically a third-party administrator, that some other company was performing. So a third-party administrator, generically, in a common definition, would be anybody else that you're giving some part of this function that we need to bring this card to the people.
I hear you. I was just confused by the fact that you said by not having a third-party administrator. Well,
please forgive me. I must have misspoken.
Okay. Now, can I ask another question?
One more.
Who is responsible? I think you said whatever this other entity is that's not in-house is responsible for enrollment and auditing and looking and approving the claims for payment. Is that correct?
I did not say what I'm about to tell you, but there was a conversation to which I was privy in which, and you can help me with this, ladies, all of the enrollment's done in-house unless it's online. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. So any call-in enrollment, they get on the phone and they do the computer entry. Our ladies do the computer entry for the benefit of an elder or somebody else who doesn't want to do that or can't do it for whatever reason. Other people can get directly to the website and they can enroll online themselves.
I thought there was only a period of time within which you could enroll on the website, and then after that, you had to enroll.
I think that may have been. I think there is there an open enrollment, ladies? Help me out. Now it's perpetual. Okay, that used to be true, but it is no longer true since we've gone to perpetual enrollment.
So the contemplation is that if there is an online enrollment piece, that whoever is the third-party administrator will be responsible for the online enrollment.
Let me make something clear here. What we're asking for is a little bit more flexibility with the restriction of an IAS protocol, which would solve the problem that we have currently. So let me just, if I can, map out a couple of possibilities for you. It is possible that we go out and we get a debit card company only to set up the website, administer that part of it, and just handle the debit card. It is also possible under these amendments that we can go out and get a real insurance third-party administrator just to handle the paper claims. We can do that if we want to. According to that amendment, we could also bring just that part of it, the receipt reimbursement, in-house. And your bill already provides for an auditing service, so there's no need for another company to do that. That's obviously going to be an outside audit, although I don't think your bill specifies that. But it just says an audit on an annual basis.
Thank you, Assistant Chief.
Thank you, sir.
Members of the committee, I'm ready to call for the question. Speaker Walker, before I call for the question.
I would like to propose an amendment to the amendment. There's no lines currently on the amendment, but it would be... Will you help me with this?
Thank you. And it's referred to as a protocol.
You are.
Inventory Information Approval System. So the amendment will read on Congresswoman Lemon's amendment. I guess that would be the fourth fourth line. Here we go. On line 154 through 160, F, where it says, via the use of an encoded card, after card, insert. Which shall have the inventory information approval system, parentheses, IIAS protocol.
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Madam Clerk.
Which shall have, thank you, Dana.
Any other discussion to the amendment? To the amendment.
Shall have the inventory information approval system. And then I was going to put that out and then put this in parentheses. Protocol. Yes. Thank you.
Are you comfortable, Madam Clerk? We are. I'm going to call for the question to the amendment to the amendment. Those in favor of the...
Seconded. Oh, yes.
Yep. We have a second already. Those in favor of the amendment to the amendment signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Those opposed say no. Now we're going back to... the amendment. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to make one more discussion point about this amendment. Is I understand that none of this has been worked out in the executive branch, how this is going to be handled. I heard Assistant Principal Chief tell us that Service can handle the paper claims. We could possibly contract with a debit card to get us the cards and put the money on it. But in my view, there's way more administration that goes on to this health benefit fund than those two aspects. And I don't know how it's going to be handled right now. As a member of Congress, I know the problems we're having. I see that we're trying to work for a solution. But in this law and broadening what's going to be able to occur throughout this law, I don't think anybody knows who's going to be responsible after somebody goes into the website and types in their application. Who then manages that? I don't know. And what I'm understanding is we're passing a law broad enough for that to be worked out later. I'm uncomfortable with that because of the obstacles we've run into. Now, I understand that Assistant Chief Redcorn has done a lot of work to figure out what's going on, what some solutions could be. But what's sitting on the table in front of us does not indicate, with this amendment, how this is going to be managed for the people. So I have to say that, and I will excuse myself from the meeting because I might want to talk again, and I know you guys are trying to get some business done. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much for letting me speak.
Speaker Walker.
Good points, Congresswoman Whitehorn, and I'll be the first to admit that I don't know for sure if this is going to fix or make the plan perfect. We were provided some alarming issues with the plan and how it was being administered, and we've discussed for about a month on potential fixes or ways to make the card better. And I wholeheartedly believe that this gives us some flexibility to make the card better. I do. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Members of the committee, we have an amendment as amended in front of us. I'd like to call for the question now. I believe I need a motion. Is that correct? We already got a second on that? And we have a second. I'd like to have a roll call, please. Will the amendment to the amendment, or the amendment as amended, pass?
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
Yes.
Congresswoman Lemon?
Yes.
Congressman Tillman?
Yes.
Speaker Walker?
Yes.
Congressman Mason?
Yes. The amendment as amended passes. Continuing on with consideration of ONCA 1870. Ms. Lemon, I think you may have, did you have something to?
With that amendment passing, there was another piece, a language correction. I need to make another amendment that I caught just now, and I do apologize. It would be line 181. Would you mind scrolling there, Shannon? Yes. It's to strike line 181, strike the and enter an.
Which the?
In front of administrator, pardon me. Okay.
Transmitted to an administrator.
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Those in favor of the motion signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Those opposed say no. The amendment. To the amendment. No, the amendment passes.
I'll make a motion to report out bill number ONCA 1870 to Congress with a due pass as amended.
Second.
And I have a second. Discussion to the motion. Hearing none. Those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Those opposed say no. Shall be reported out. Moving on to consideration of ONCA 19-30, an act to amend the Osage Nation Health Benefit Act. 16 ONC section 3-101 through section 3-105, and to insert section 3-106 and 3-107, and to establish an alternate effective date, sponsored by Congresswoman Lemon. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At this point, I would just like for the chair to consider tabling the legislation at this time.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Is it the sponsor's intention to withdraw this legislation?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, I'm fine with tabling.
Could you repeat that? I didn't hear it.
Sure. At this time,
Ms. Goodfox.
I asked if it was the sponsor's intention to withdraw the legislation. And she said, I asked if the sponsor was going to withdraw the legislation, and she said possibly yes, but she'd rather table it to the call of the chair for now. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Without objection, do I need a motion? No. Postpone. Without objection, I postpone action on ONCA 1930 to the call of the chair.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on. Number 7 is consideration of ONCA 19-32. An act to authorize and appropriate $9,423 to the matching grant fund to meet the match requirement of the Indian Health Service grant for the Pawnee Service Unit Tribal Individual Water and Sewer Project, and to establish an alternate effective date, sponsored by Congressman Tillman. Congressman Tillman, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe we've already passed this out in committee with the due pass recommendation, and it's been all taken care of. It's just, I think, a mistake added to the agenda.
I concur with that, because when I read the title, I was like, we talked about this the other day, and I know we passed it out.
My apologies. I have slept since then. Moving right along. Consider number 8 is consideration of ONCA 19-34, an act to authorize and appropriate the amount of $263,017 in federal funds to community health representative and to establish an alternate effective date. And it's sponsored by Congresswoman Pratt.
Good afternoon.
Congresswoman Pratt.
Thank you. There's a lot of discussion and some things that documents that still need to be received from the executive branch. Therefore, I would request it just needs to happen. So in receiving additional information so we could get this clarified and hopefully assist with this. So I would ask to table this at this time and request that it be placed on your Thursday agenda, because I may not get the information until tomorrow morning.
Okay, without objection, tabling ONCA 1934 to our next meeting. Going up to we're postponing that till the next meeting. Going into motion to adjourn and a second. Those in favor signify by saying amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are adjourned.
So the next meeting is Thursday, right?
Next meeting is Thursday.